Welcome back to a new edition of the Pro Football Weekly Podcast. Pleased you can be with us again this week. I know we have taken a couple weeks off, and I apologize for that. But as we gear up to the football season, we are going to be with you every week. And we're continuing our division-by-division look around the NFL. And very, very pleased to be joined this week by Brian Ale Walsh. You can find his work really all over the place, whether it's the Biloxi Sun-Herald or Sports NOLA or at USA Today Sports Weekly, where you can also find my work. And Brian, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
Fine, Arthur. Thanks for having me, buddy. Looking forward to talking with you about the NFC South.
Absolutely. The pleasure is all ours, and it is, of course, a very interesting division. Has the reigning conference champions and some other teams gearing for some major improvement this year. But I guess we have to start with the reigning conference champs. And your just general kind of feeling on their ability. I know they've kind of dominated this division in recent years. Aside from losing Josh Norman, it seems like the team has largely remained intact this offseason as it gears up for another push at the division.
I agree with you. I mean, losing Norman certainly is one of those positions that you look at and say that's a minus. But, you know, they've tried to beef up that position with drafting three corners in the draft. And they're getting Ben Wickery back off a leg injury. So, I don't see them really missing a beat. Cam Newton's, you know, we'll talk offense, Arthur, but I mean, I just don't see Carolina missing a beat right. They're still the team to beat, not only in the NFC South, but I still put them right up there with anybody else in the NFC in general.
Well, it certainly helps when you have the MVP of the league and that just dominant defense that, again, returns largely intact. They'll have to figure out how to plug in some youngsters at cornerback. But I want to start with Cam Newton. What have you seen from Cam after really his just transcended MVP campaign? I know it didn't exactly end the way he would have hoped for, but I would imagine Cam remains as comfortable in his own skin as ever as he now has that mantle of reigning MVP.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly established. He's a super freak, in my opinion. I mean, him and Luke Kuechly, at middle linebacker for them, those guys are just unbelievable players and leaders, and Cam has established himself as one of the premier quarterbacks in the league. And if he stays healthy, and that's important, he's got to stay healthy. But, you know, I just think it's going to be hard to top last year. How do you do that from a statistics standpoint? But he's certainly capable of it. And, you know, I don't see any letdown here. I think anything, he's got a large and motivational chip on his shoulder for the way the season ended last year in the Super Bowl. And then, you know, when he walked out of the postgame presser after the bowl, I just see him ready to build and to seize the momentum and just build on it again this year. I think the sky's the limit for the guy, I really do.
It's funny that you mentioned, and I couldn't agree with you more, but at the same time, and we're not going to get into fantasy football on this podcast, but I am a big fantasy player, and for that reason, I've kind of had it in my head that Cam can't quite possibly replicate the video game numbers he had last year. And then you obviously realize he gets his number one wide receiver back from a redshirt sophomore year with the torn ACL. And everything I've heard from Charlotte this offseason is that David Fungus is really seems to be coming on his own on the opposite side.
Right, and look, I agree with you totally, but you know what? Mike Shula's going to dial up plays that are going to benefit the offense. Now, will he score 10 rushing touchdowns, I think, like he did last year? Right. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's always that possibility that, you know, when he's inside the 10 anyway, inside the 8, he's always a guy that you got to account for as a defense, and, you know, they've got other really good running backs in Stewart and Tolbert. And so, I mean, they've got all the weapons. And like you said, with Benjamin coming back, Kelvin's going to be healthy. He's going to be a great weapon outside. And then you've Greg Olsen. And I know Josh Norman's a huge hole that they're leaving there. But I think somebody's going to step in and seize it. They've got a bunch of good candidates that are going to be in the secondary at corner. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's a good segue by you. That's where a lot of the intrigue lies, of course, with the turnover at cornerback. I saw Carolina wisely locked up Kurt Coleman. I thought one of the bigger bargain players in the NFL last year with all the interceptions. But who is the candidate? And you said, of course, they get Ben Wickery back, and that will be huge. But of the trio of really I know there was a second and a third rounder in Bradbury and Worley. Who do you suspect will be the guy? Do you have a hunch yet?
Well, you know what? Look, I'm a betting man, and I bet Riverboat Ron Rivera. I'm going to take him at his word. I think that they could easily open the season with the two rookie corners and have Ben Wickery move inside. You know, if these guys pan out in the preseason, Arthur, it gives them the opportunity to bring Ben Wickery, you know, along a little bit more gradually. Obviously, you want to have him ready for the opener, but he can play inside. Doesn't sound like he's against that at all. And if these two kids, if Bradbury and Worley pan out, and they've got that third kid,
Sanchez from Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, you got three kids that they're high on, and so we'll see what happens. You know, but you're right. Locking up Coleman, that's a plus. Trey Boston's a good backup or a good safety as well. So again, and their front seven is as good as there is in football.
I was going to say it must be nice to potentially be willing to roll the dice with a pair of rookie starting cornerbacks when you have that kind of front seven masking whatever's going on in the secondary. Brian, we're located here in Chicago, and the Bears' first-round pick, Leonard Floyd, exited his first training camp practice on a cart. Now, fortunately, it was only illness, and he's doing okay and actually is getting some first-team reps now. But the reason I mention it, I believe Vernon Butler also gave Panthers fans a scare. Can you fill us in at all about the progress? Again, I believe it was just a scare, but where's Vernon Butler at, and what are the expectations for him as a rookie?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing for them in that, you know, I think he's not going to have to step in and play like Noah Spence may have to step in and play down in Tampa.
Right.
So I think, you know, I really think that that's going to help. They can bring him along. I understand that some of the jargon and everything is he's a little bit slower on that. It's going to take him a little while to catch up, but he's got all the tangibles that they're looking for. And again, with their front, their down linemen and everything, they can put him in a rotation, and we'll see what happens with him.
Right, right. And you mentioned the Buccaneers, but I figure I'm going to tee it up to you. Who's the biggest threat to the Panthers to get in this division race? And I'll let you kind of handle the segue, and then we'll go into the next team. How do you forecast the rest of the division?
Well, I would say Atlanta. I like Tampa third, and I like Atlanta fourth. I think Tampa's got. I think they're going to move ahead of Atlanta in the division, I think. And I'm not sure about New Orleans, Arthur, in the sense I place them two. There's so many question marks there. You know, everybody is talking about the defense needs to get better. Obviously, it can't get any worse. And I'm not exactly sure that's a glowing endorsement. If that's all it is that they've got to get better. So, but I would go to New Orleans, Tampa, and then Atlanta, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, outstanding. So let's talk a little bit of Saints. I know that is your particular area of expertise. Again, we are chatting with Brian L.A. Walsh. You can find his work at the Biloxi Sun-Herald, also on Sports NOLA, and also in USA Today Sports Weekly, covering the entire NFC South. And, you know, we only have so much time here, Brian, and I shouldn't do it, but I have to. Before we get to the immediate stuff, is Drew Brees going to be the quarterback in New Orleans beyond this season? And what happens with that situation in a contract year?
That's a great question, and it hasn't really been answered.
Right.
You know, my heart, my brain, I guess, says that they're going to get something done, that he will be here and end his career here. But look, that's only the best case scenario. He'll be 38 in January. Look, he takes care of himself. He's still he's a top five, top seven quarterback, in my opinion, in the league at his age. But the fact of the matter is the window is closing on this team. And if they don't make it back into the playoffs this year, I'm not so sure that if they don't have a deal done before the start of the regular season, I'm not sure why they would want to extend his contract out any further, because I would say the window would have closed by then after this year. So I think if they don't get a deal done, Arthur, by September 10, then it's going to go to the off season. And if they don't make it to the playoffs, I could see them, you know, this is a business. The NFL is, what have you done for me lately? I'm not so sure that they would extend him a lengthy contract and extend it out. He'll be 38 in January, like I said.
Right. And that makes a ton of sense. It's hard to, it sounds obviously like their ability to get into playoff contention this year could certainly, you know, be dependent on what happens next. So let's talk defensive improvements. Why is this team going to be better under Dennis Allen? I love Sheldon Rankins. Tell me how he has looked. How has Von Bell looked? And what about all the veteran additions, whether it's Nick Fairley or James Laurinaitis? Have they done enough to overhaul this unit?
Well, I think the key to me in this whole thing, and I agree with all the names you mentioned, Arthur, but I think the key is James Laurinaitis. Because he is going to be essentially the quarterback of the defense, he'll be the guy that's going to be calling signals, getting people in position, and just providing that experience there that they've had in the past. It didn't necessarily come to fruition last year, but that's who they need, and then Dennis Allen is going to be that stabilizing influence on the sideline, and they're just going to get back to playing basic defense. And whether it's in a 3-4 or 4-3, they're going to be able to show a lot of different looks. And Sheldon Rankins is one of those kids that they ended up using in the first round. They hope that he's going to bring some push in the middle. They've got Cameron Jordan on the outside. They lost a guy, Haole Kikaha, a guy that they were as an edge rusher, tore up a knee in OTA's off-season program. And so I'm not saying that you could pencil him into that position, but he was a guy that was going to give him a head start at being the bookend to Cameron Jordan from the outside on one side. So Laurinaitis, they're hoping Danelle Owerby comes back healthy. And then in the secondary, they need Keenan Lewis, one of the corners, to come back healthy. They need Jarvis Byrd, a safety, to come back healthy and justify his mammoth contract that he signed 2 years ago. Kenny Vaccaro at safety, another spot. And then Delvin Bro, there's a guy that he may not be a household name for a lot of us NFL fans around the country, but he's a really pretty solid corner, young guy from the CFL, got a years of experience. So they need these guys, Nick Fairley, too, to come and play in a rotation. They need their key players, Ellerby, Byrd, and those guys to stay healthy and stay on the field. That's first and foremost. Those guys have got to stay healthy. And then Rankins has got to come in and be an influence in his rookie season. Von Bell, another kid, a safety out of Ohio State. There's a kid that they're counting on. They may play a lot more three safety than they have in the past. So Dennis Allen is a trusted lieutenant. He and Sean Payton see eye to eye, and that's a big plus. That wasn't the case last year with Rob Ryan. So that's a real stabilizing influence there on that side, and that's got to be a plus. But they got to have all these guys stay healthy. And then all these guys that they're counting on to produce and have input, they've got to come through too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It will be fascinating to see if Dennis Allen can get more out of that unit that has undergone so much change. I feel like this offense is a perennial juggernaut, regardless of who you plug in, whether it's Willie Snead or Benjamin Watson. I know this year it'll be Kobe Fleener, and now they've added Michael Thomas into the mix. Just quickly on what maybe is your biggest reservation about this offense maintaining its dominance, and then maybe what you're most excited about entering the 2016 incarnation.
Well, I think from an excitement standpoint, I think Michael Thomas will be a good third receiver for this team out of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. They moved up to get him late in the second round, and I think he's going to be a good addition to go with Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks. Kobe Fleener, tight end, that position is so important, so critical to the Saints' success, to Drew Brees' success. And then I think you're going to get C.J. Spillers coming back healthy. He wasn't last year, and you package him with Mark Ingram. That's going to be a nice combination there. Max Unger at center is back. And you've got the two guards are the positions that I think are of the most concern, have a question mark. You know, Jari Evans just signed with Seattle. He opted not to restructure his deal and enter free agency. And so now he's with Seattle. So they've got three guys right now. Teron Armstead is coming off active PUP at left tackle. They hope that he'll be healthy for the start of the season. They're going to move Andrus Peat, a number one pick from 215. He's a tackle by trade at Stanford, but they're going to move him probably in at right guard. And then you're going to have Tim Lolito and Senio Calamate. Those are two guys that are going to be battling for the other guard spot. Those are the positions, I think, the two guard spots, that that if there's a concern for Sean Payton, it would be those spots right there.
Yeah, and that makes a ton of sense given, obviously, how much Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton have invested in the interior of their offensive line in the past, and now a lot of turnover. We had Andrus Peat, actually, as our top-rated tackle Pro Football Weekly did in last year's draft, so it'll be fun to watch his development. A word quickly from our sponsor, Loot Crate. From bad guys doing good things for the wrong reason to good guys with questionable tactics, August is the perfect time to explore the anti-hero. Walk the hero-villain line with this 100% exclusive collection of items from DC Comics, Archer, Dark Horse, and Kill Bill that includes two great collectibles, a wearable, and, of course, our monthly tee. And don't forget the pin. You can get all this for less than $20 a month. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear delivered right to your door every single month. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive this month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that's it, it's over. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter the code Shaw, S-H-A-W, to save $3 on any new subscription. Loot Crate, come geek out with us. All right, Brian, that was sufficiently geeky. Let's get to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and a lot of turnover, of course, in the coaching staff. Rookie head coach Dirk Cutter and a lot of turnover on defense as well. What jumps out at you with this club? It would seem that the offense is going to continue building on what it developed under Jameis Winston last year. Is it all the defensive changes that are going to determine the success or failure of this club?
Yeah, I think so, too. Let's start with the offense. Arthur, there's two things that this club is going to have to do better on. One, score points and be a better red zone team. And if they could do those things under Jameis, they showed they could move the ball, but they had trouble. They bogged down inside the 20, and they had trouble scoring points. And they're going to have to do that. So with Jameis being a year older, he's established himself very quickly as the franchise guy. He showed a lot of a great maturity in his rookie season. Let's hope he can only get better. I think he will too. I really do. I think he's gonna grow into that spot as we go further here. They've got some good weapons there on offense, but the defense is where I think that this could be what makes or break, probably makes them a 6 or 7 win team. I think is that, they've brought in Robert Ayers, they've brought in Noah Spence. So they've brought in some people on defense and they're going to get Quan Alexander back. And I don't think you can minimize what his loss meant to this team. They were 6-6 last year when Alexander went to the sideline to serve a 4-game suspension for PED abuse. And they lost all 4 games. And Dirk Cutter was asked specifically what that meant. And he said it meant a huge thing to their team. Here's a kid, a rookie out of LSU, that just shows you how much he meant as a rookie playing that middle position. So, it's going to mean a big difference, I think, from a defensive standpoint to have Mike Smith come in from the Falcons and again, lend some stability there. And he likes to play chess, and he's a good taskmaster as well. So he's going to try to get the most out of that defense. If they can do that, I think they're a 6-7 win team.
And as far as the rookies this year, I know Quan Alexander, and that is really high praise for a fourth rounder who came down and secured the mic right away. Now, of course, they bring in Daryl Smith, such a respected veteran, and they have all-world Levante David. So it could comprise a pretty good second level defensively. But what about the rookies here in Chicago? Again, I wanted the Bears to draft Vernon Hargraves and not move down. Of course, they traded with Tampa, and Tampa still got its corner. What's the early returns on him, the super early returns? Of course, and then Noah Spence. People know the off-field story, but what is he showing in between the white lines in training camp?
Well, let's start with Spence. He's kind of an undersized guy. Mike Smith was talking about him the other day. An undersized guy. He's probably going to be a guy that they're going to bring along you know, in the sub packages and put him primarily in passing situations if they can. That's his forte, obviously. You know, they lost George Johnson to a fractured hip. He's going to be out. That, I don't know how much of a loss that is, though, because I understand he was going to have a hard time making the roster. And then you've got McCoy inside. You've got Ayers, Golston. I mean, this is a really potentially a really good front seven. You mentioned the linebackers. And then Hargraves. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if Hargraves is more of a nickel guy right now. But you know what? They've obviously brought him in there to start, and we'll see where he's got all the tangibles that you're looking for in a corner. He's not the biggest of corners, but he certainly has got great all the tangibles you're looking, and he's going to be a guy that's going to help a lot, no doubt about it.
And before we spend just a few quick minutes on the Falcons, you said you were a betting man. The odds that Miko Grimes can keep her mouth shut and keep her husband out of trouble with his new team?
Oh, I don't know. I think Tampa's got a better chance of winning the division than what you just mentioned, okay?
All right.
Really do.
I figured as much. That should be interesting to monitor. And just a couple more minutes here with Brian Ellie Walsh, and we are going to quickly take a spin around the Falcons roster and see what's going on there. I loved the Alex Mack signing. I think it was exactly the type of grounding that Matt Ryan needed heading into year two in the Kyle Shanahan offense. I didn't love the Mohamed Sanu signing as much. Do you think that someone can emerge opposite Julio Jones, or just to complement Julio and kind of take the burden off of both Ryan and his all-pro wide receiver?
Well, I think for them, of all the – yes, I mean, I do, and it has to happen if they have any chance. I don't see him as a contender in the division. Again, I've got him bringing up the rear in the NFC South, and it doesn't mean that they – you know, I think they're a 4-5-win team, to be perfectly honest with you. But of the four teams, I think Matty Ryan – He has got to play well for this team to go far. And if he doesn't, like last year, I know they started out, 5-0, and then they went 6-1 and finished 8-8. And a lot of it had to do with Matty Ryan's decline in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And, you know, they have got to get on the same page. And then Julio has got to get help from Sanu, and I'm with you. I thought they really overpaid to get Mohamed Sanu. He didn't have a receiving touchdown last year. Okay, I mean, how do you pay a guy $32.5 million? I didn't get that at all. But they needed a guy. They need a guy, and that, I'm not saying that he can't, but he certainly didn't show it. And then they need Justin Hardy to be the number three. And, you know, I like Freeman as their running back, and Matty Ryan has shown he's got the ability. They need help at tight end. Austin Hooper looks like he might be able to help them in red zone situations. And then their defense, they've got to come through. And again, I think that's another thing. They couldn't get off the field on third down. They had a hard time against the pass. So I see them struggling again. You know, I see them struggling again under Dan Quinn.
And what about, you know, that defense specifically? Obviously, the worst pass rush in football last year. They bring in Dwight Freeney, future Hall of Famer. But what can he do to help the defense, to help Vic Beasley? It sounds like you don't think they're going to have enough still. But what did you think about that addition? And then maybe Derek Shelby. I guess there's been a few other guys that have come on board as well.
Yeah, they've brought in some people. And, I think they've got the makings there. You know, obviously, Quinn, they didn't see enough in that first week of training camp, and they went out and signed Freeney. I mean, right. Dwight Freeney was seen as a guy that was going to sign with some club maybe into the season like he did last year in Arizona. You know, I think Dwight can still, you know, play his 20 to 22 snaps a game. I want to say he had 8 sacks and 264 snaps last year. So the guy can still play it if he's fresh. And right. I just think that they're going to need more than that, and I just I'm not as high in Atlanta as I don't know, maybe Arthur Blank is. You know, look, when your owner's got to endorse the franchise quarterback in training camp and kind of give an endorsement to, that doesn't bode well, in my opinion.
No, yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't seem like there's quite enough pieces here, but I guess just on the way out. What about the new high-profile pieces in Keanu Neal and of course, Deion Jones? I think the Neal draft slotting surprised us a little bit. But what do you think about those two? It kind of seems like it has Dan Quinn's fingerprints on it, trying to replicate that Seattle cover two a little bit. Cover three.
Well, definitely. And they're both going to get opportunities. From what I understand, Keanu, he's obviously going to be penciled in. And then Jones is a guy that's going to give Paul Warlow a run for his money. In fact, mm-hmm. I would think you're going to see him in passing situations and Paul sit down and be used mainly in run situations. So, you know, that's a positive thing. And going back to Freeney, I think what they see in Freeney too, Arthur, is that here's a guy that's 36 years old. He's still got some tread in the tire. And not only that, but he can be a mentor for a Vic Beasley. You know, he can help show him. You know, Vic had four sacks last year. And, you know, they hope that they need him to really step up and produce even more so this year. And I think that they see Dwight as a guy that can mentor not only him but the other young guys on their defense. And, you know, this is a club, again, Matt Ryan has got to play superbly for them to be a factor in the division.
Absolutely. Brian, I don't know where the time goes. That was a half hour. It goes by in a flash. And I told you as a fantasy football guy, so I'm not going to let you get away without just one last one to help my draft strategy. Devontae Freeman, 2015, an aberration? Or is he – what do you see with Devontae Freeman?
No, I tell you what, I think if he's – obviously it's like all these guys. Arthur, they stay healthy. I can see him getting his touches. I know Tevin Coleman's going to get his touches as well, but this guy, he showed he can do it both as a receiver and a running back. And I think, you know, I don't know if he can replicate what he did last year, but I'd say he's a good, at least a second-round pick for most draft guys, at least, huh? Wouldn't you think?
I would think so, and I love it because you just gave our fantasy football listeners a little something to chew on. Brian Ale Walsh, that is just awesome stuff across the board. I hope you'll come and join us again soon. That was a lot of fun.
Arthur, thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure, okay?
Yeah, the pleasure is ours. That is Brian Ale Walsh with the Biloxi Sun-Herald, Sports NOLA, USA Today Sports Weekly's NFC South correspondent. You can find his work everywhere, and a friend of the program now. That was a lot of fun. That is actually going to do it for today's podcast. Like I said, I don't know where the time goes, but I do want to thank both Brian and my excellent producer, Dan Mott, always doing work and spinning the dials and making sure we sound good when we come through your speaker set. So we'll be back next week, a few more divisions to preview. And again, just thank you so much for being with us. I'm your host, Arthur Arkish. That's all for the Pro Football Weekly Podcast.